Hello and welcome to Pause Pop, positively pop culture, where we talk about things we love enthusiastically and without guilt. I'm KW Taylor.
And I'm Carrie Gessner.
And today we're talking about two TV series with strong female leads, which is our little theme for the day. We're going to be talking about the Paramount, or actually no, it's not Paramount Plus, it's CBS, but it does stream on Paramount Plus series Elsbeth. And we're going to talk about the, what channel
Disney.
Is... Disney Plus series Renegade Now. I should have probably, we're going to leave that in. I should have gotten my research done before we started.
That's fine. We make mistakes sometimes. It's cool.
We do.
Before we get into that, we're recording this the day before the eclipse happens. So we're pretty excited about that.
We are. And we're both going to be in, I'm going to definitely be in totality. Are you going to be in?
I am also in totality. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to be totality twins. Oh, that's bad. Well, I hope we don't have any clouds in our respective cities. Yeah. And it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be so fun. My mom called me yesterday and was like, oh, they're saying clouds, it's gonna be cloudy. And I was like, let's just get to the day and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
But I think it's gonna be really cool. I'm excited.
I think it is too. I dare you to watch the music video for the 1982 power pop song Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler in advance, at least once.
Okay.
And revel in how very bad it is.
Okay. I'm going to write that down. But yeah. I can do that. That sounds easy.
It's fun.
That's a good
song. It's a good song. The song is a banger and a bop and I love it, but the video is bananas and not great. So it's directed by the guy who directed Highlander and stuff, so it's got a vibe anyway.
Okay. All right, well, I will do that. I'll report back to you.
Okay,
cool. But in the meantime, let's talk about the shows we are going to talk about.
Let's
start with Elsbeth, which I like know a little bit about the universe because I've watched some of The Good Fight, but I'm interested to hear all your thoughts.
Yeah, this is exactly what I hoped it would be. Love it. I'm not obsessed, but it's just very, very good. So yeah, this is a spinoff from both The Good Wife and The Good Fight. The Good Fight is a spinoff of The Good Wife, and the character of Elsbeth Tassioni appeared on both series, but she was not a regular. She was just a recurring character. And she was kind of a little, I don't know, not breakout character, but she is a fan favorite from that universe. Mm. And just to give a little bit of brief background on those earlier series, The Good Wife is a legal drama with a little bit of comedic elements to it. And then The Good Fight is definitely a legal comedy drama, emphasis more on the comedy part.
Okay.
And Elsbeth is technically a police procedural, and it's even more lighthearted. So I would say this is a mostly comedic quasi-drama.
Okay.
So the character of Elsbeth Tassioni, who's played by Carrie Preston, who is an amazing veteran character actress, and people may know her from True Blood, and she's married to Michael Emerson, who is on another series that's created by Robert and Michelle King called Evil, which we've both watched quite a bit of. And he used to be on Lost and stuff. So they're like a power character actor couple. And Elsbeth Tassioni was a lawyer in Chicago, and she was always a little bit quirky, had a very interesting investigative style in terms of like kind of ferreting out stuff with her clients, and was mostly a defense attorney, did a little bit of corporate stuff. And she was never employed by the firms that they showed on The Good Wife or The Good Fight, but often she would be a consultant, or they would be up against her, or they would bring her in as like an extra expert on something.
Okay.
And I can't say that she's kind of, she's just very, very quirky. It's not clear if she's maybe on the spectrum or if she's just got like a absent-minded investigator feel about her. And I would not say that she's a Sherlock Holmes type. Mm-hmm. She's much more of a Columbo type.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. People underestimate her because of her quirky nature. And at times I do think she deliberately amps it up on purpose in order to cause people to not find her suspicious.
Okay.
So she uses it to her advantage. she's like a divorced mom. There's something about her son that we don't quite yet know about on Elsbeth. On the original series, her son was very little and that we didn't see him, but she had apparently just gotten divorced and was kind of striking out on her own.
Okay.
We don't otherwise know very much about her personal life, so she's a little bit of an enigma. So in the new series, she has left Chicago and she's no longer a practicing attorney. She's been hired on with the NYPD to serve in a monitor capacity based on a consent decree. There were some controversial arrests that were going on with the police, so she's been kind of embedded with the police department to watch them investigate, but she also ends up sort of helping with various investigations.
Okay.
So she's, like I said, she's very Columbo-esque. So each case, it's got the same format as Columbo, but also as the new series Poker Face on Peacock, which okay. I also love, where it's not a whodunit, it's a why done it or how done it.
Okay.
So we as the audience in every episode, we see this whole lead up before we ever see Elsbeth in any episode where the crime is being committed. And a little bit of the interpersonal relationships between the people that might have caused the murder. But we also have some parts of it missing. So we don't necessarily see the complete motivation and we don't see the complete process of how they did it. We see them do it, but we don't see all the minutia of it. So there's little bits missing. So there's still enough there as the audience, like, oh, okay, we know that so-and-so did it, but we also don't know exactly why and what was going on.
Okay.
And I really like that. Yeah. So you're solving, I mean, the fun part of a cozy mystery series, which is this is very cozy, is to figure it out like a puzzle, right?
Yeah.
So you want to either know who did it or why. It's like Clue. You want to know the perpetrator, the murder weapon, and the location. And so in this case, we know those three things, but we don't know the motivation and we don't know how they decided to do it the way they did it and exactly their planning process.
Okay.
And I've noticed in each episode so far, there's always an extra little twist that we really didn't see coming. But it's otherwise pretty, like, it's never fully wholesome when you're talking about a murder mystery show, right?
Yeah.
But it's got a high level of wholesomeness and, you know, very lighthearted comedy, which mostly just comes from Elsbeth being her quirky self. But I've noticed that there's a little bit that's sort of like the oddities of New York City. And then there is also this overarching subtle plot line going on where it seems that there is more to her observation or monitorship than meets the eye. She's not only reporting to like the chief of police within the like precinct that she's in, she also seems to be reporting to someone higher above him and seems to be sort of like, you know, there's a little bit more to who she's answering to.
Okay.
And that hasn't really fully unspooled quite yet. But there's a very small cast. It's just, again, Carrie Preston and it's Elsbeth. And then there's two police folks, Kaya Blanc, played by Kara Patterson. And then C.W. Wagner is like the either lieutenant or sergeant or something. And that's played by Wendell Pierce, who people may recognize from Suits. And a bunch of other stuff. And then there is like the like over guy that we don't really see too much. But there also is a slight reference to a character from The Good Wife, Kerry Agos. He's been referenced, but he has not been seen yet. So I'm kind okay. of like, I would love it if he shows up. But we'll see. And there's been three episodes released so far. It started back on February 29th, and then it got preempted by March Madness, and now it's back. And it's on, I think, Thursdays? I don't know. Check your listings. But it okay. shows up on Paramount Plus the following day. So
nice.
But as I mentioned, this was created by Robert King and Michelle King, and they're a married couple, and they did The Good Wife, The Good Fight, Evil, which I argue is in the same universe, even though it's a completely different genre of like supernatural drama. And they've done a couple other shows too that haven't lasted as long, but I really, really love their writing style, their directing style. Robert directs a lot of the episodes, just their whole thing. They're just like the power couple of these quirky CBS and Paramount Plus shows. And I keep saying quirky, but like, it's just, it's offbeat enough, but it's wholesome. It's cute. It's, if you liked Columbo or Murder, She Wrote or Poker Face or Elementary or, you know, Castle, any of these like lighter procedurals, mm-hmm. this is definitely right up your alley. So,
okay. And it's awesome.
Other than there being a couple little continuing things, first of all, you do not need to have seen The Good Wife or The Good Fight at all to start this. It absolutely stands on its own. And other than that little kind of mysterious, who is she really working for, each episode kind of stands on its own too. So each case starts at the beginning of the episode, ends at the end of the episode. And just to kind of go into a little bit of detail on each episode, like, I've only watched the first two. There is a third one that I haven't seen yet. In the pilot, it has to do with Stephen Moyer plays like a theater professor who seems to have murdered one of his students.
Oh.
And that one's kind of neat because Carrie Preston was in True Blood with Stephen Moyer, who was Bill the Vampire in True Blood. So it's nice to see him again. And then in the second episode, there's a bunch of veteran character actor guest stars, including Jane Krakowski she's the murderer. And her victim is Linda Lavin from the old sitcom Alice, who's also been on Broadway and stuff. And it's really fun to see her. And in upcoming episodes, we're going to end up seeing Retta and Blair Underwood and Keegan-Michael Key, Gina nice. Gershon and Laura Bernanti, and just all these folks that you've seen from other shows.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I think they're getting good guest stars, lots of, you know, familiar TV faces, and it's just so cute. And just Elsbeth's whole thing, like, she's got this bright red hair. She's never been in New York City before, so she's kind of doing tourist things. She's often seen wearing really fuzzy mittens. She's got like all these bags, like a billion little tote bags where she's carrying all this stuff. And her voice is just kind of like high-pitched and soothing, but also a little silly. Like, I don't know. Her whole deal just works really well for me. I don't know what it is. But
That's great.
It's so cute. Nice. And I think you would really like it. So
you make it sound very appealing. I wasn't sure because I didn't know Elsbeth that much from The Good Fight. Mm-hmm. Like, she was cool, but she hadn't been in too much. But it sounds really cute, and I think I'm going to try it. But I also haven't tried the last show that I told you I would try.
Well, you know, it's the kind of thing you could hop on at any point. So
yeah, I will let you know. I'm excited. Cool.
Good. Well, I hope you like it.
Thank you.
But you have been way into something which I think may be very differently toned. Why don't you tell us about Renegade Nell?
I will absolutely tell you about it. So I knew this was coming out because it's written and created by Sally Wainwright, who did Gentleman Jack. Mm-hmm. And I had heard about it a while ago. And then our friend Rachel let us know that it was coming out. And then, like, last weekend, I went to watch Mandalorian, and it was on Disney Plus, and I was like, oh, let me try an episode of this, and then I'll get back to The Mandalorian. And I never went back to The Mandalorian. I watched the whole thing in 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's only 8 episodes, which, you know, makes me feel better about watching it in 2 days. But it's a historical fantasy show. Mm-hmm. So it follows Nell Jackson, played by Louisa Harland, whom some people might recognize from Dairy Girls. She was Orla. Mm-hmm. She's so different in this. Mm. So it's set in 1705. Mm-hmm. And she comes back to her hometown of Trottenham. And she has been in the war, basically. She, like, went and married this Captain Jackson. And they went off to war, and she's coming back, and it's been at least a few years because she has an 8-year-old sister who doesn't recognize her. So it's been a while. Mm-hmm. So I think from context, I think I figured out that it's the War of Spanish Secession.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at first I thought she was in America, but that's not true. I don't think so. So she comes back, and her husband has perished in war. But everyone else also thought that she had died.
Oh.
So she comes back and everyone's like, wait, are you a ghost? Are you coming to haunt us? But she's not. She's alive. And she's got a dad who runs a tavern. And his name's Sam, and he's played by Craig Parkinson. And then she has two younger sisters. One, Roxy, she's about 16. She's played by Bo Bragason. And then George is 8. She's played by Florence Keene. And George is really great. She's very cute. But one of the things I really do love about this show is all the sisters. Mm-hmm. They have this bond that's sort of there right from the beginning because Roxy really looks up to Nell. But then George is sort of learning who she is because she was so young when she went away. So I love that that grows throughout the series and Nell has a protectiveness about them. So she comes back and her village is sort of in disarray because the local lord, Lord Blanchefort, I think, his son Thomas is just like a reckless dude who will get drunk and come and wreak havoc in the town. So he has like shot some guy's horse for no good reason. And he like flirts with all the girls and he really likes Roxy, but Roxy doesn't, you know, take to his advances and stuff like that. So he just comes through and causes problems and no one really knows what to do about it because he's the son of the Lord and, you know, they can't really stand up to him. So I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. There is a highwayman named Isambard Tully. Yeah, it took me a while. I was like, what's his name?
How do you spell that?
It's like Isambard, I think.
Okay. That's weird.
I know. But he's played by Frank Delane, son of Stephen Delane from Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen him in Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
But he's very funny in this. I like him. He's very charming. So he plays this highwayman and he's got a bounty on his head. And you find out pretty quickly that he's actually a lord named Charles Devereux, who is penniless because his dad gambled away their fortune. Mm-hmm. So he became a highwayman to like sort of make up the difference, like still live the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And like try to con people into thinking that he was still rich and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So he actually tries to hold up Nell on her way back from the war. Mm. And you find out very quickly that Nell has superpowers, sort of.
What?
I know. I didn't really expect this going in, but I was like, okay, this is great. So what happens is she's got a little friend named Billy Blind.
Okay.
Played by Nick Mohammed from Ted Lasso.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Who is maybe like a fairy.
Okay. Oh.
I know. He's like, he shows up, he's usually really little, but sometimes he can get really big. But she's sort of the only one who can see him. And he basically like goes into her, like usually like shoots into her mouth as this little ball of light or sometimes her ear. And then she gets superpowers basically. So she's really fast. She can like knock away bullets and catch bullets and also really, really strong. They always say she's like as strong as 10 men. So Tully tries to hold her up and she's like, no, no, no. she gets out of that, but it sort of starts this relationship with him where he's sort of fascinated by her and she's just like, why do I keep running into you? And it's cute and I like the way their friendship progresses. So she's got superpowers. She comes back and finds out that, you know, Thomas is terrorizing the town. And through a series of misadventures, kind of like she tries to stand up to Thomas and basically kicks his butt. Mm-hmm. And he gets really upset and he ends up killing her dad.
Oh,
yeah. Like, I guess he and his friends wanted to like teach him a lesson and they went to beat him up, but they went too far. Oh. So what happens is the dad, Lord Blanchefort, played by Pip Torrens, who seems like a veteran character actor. I recognized his face. You probably would too.
Me. I'll look him up.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell me what else he's been in.
Okay.
But the dad is like, okay, we'll pretend that we caught him poaching. So they shoot him, shoot his dead body, basically, and then tell everyone he was a poacher and he got what he deserved and all that. And Nell and Roxy and George are like, what? No, our dad would never poach. And like, our dad's a good guy. And also, Nell has enough knowledge from the war that she's like, wait, there's no blood from the bullet wound. Like, he was shot after he died and all this stuff. So they actually get confirmation of this when Rasselas, played by Eni Okoronkwo, comes. He's the Blanchford slave. And he comes and he's like, hey, I overheard this and your dad wasn't a poacher. Like, they straight up killed him. Mm-hmm. So they get this confirmation and Nell goes to confront the Lord. And Thomas is there. Thomas is played by Jake Dunn. Sorry if I forgot that. And then Sophia is also there. She's played by Alice Kremelberg and she's Thomas's sister. She has been recently widowed, like Nell, and I think that sets up a really interesting foil, which I will talk about in a second. So the three members of the family are there. Nell comes to confront them, and Thomas takes out a pistol, and he's acting like he's going to shoot Nell, and Nell's like, bring it on. I can stop bullets. Like, I am not scared of you. And Thomas turns the pistol on his dad and kills his dad. I know. I was really surprised.
Oh.
I was like, what? And then this sets off a big, like, the main impetus of the series, which is that everyone thinks Nell has murdered Lord Blanchford. Oh. And she goes on the run and she has to become a highwaywoman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that sets up that. But the reason Thomas killed his dad is he had a bunch of like gambling debts that his dad didn't know about. And he was like, I really just want my inheritance. And he's been friends with this guy named Robert Hennessy, who is the Earl of Poynton. And everyone just calls him Poynton. Mm-hmm. Played by Adrian Lester, who's like a legit actor. Like, I've seen him in Shakespeare stuff. So he brings this like super duper gravitas to it, which I really loved, but he's a bad guy. And he's like, well, why don't you just kill your father? Like, that would get you your inheritance.
Oh.
So he sort of starts the wheels spinning, and that's kind of why Thomas did what he did.
Okay.
But the like crux of the issue is that all of the servants come when they hear a gunshot. And Thomas is like, well, she did this. She killed our dad.
Mm.
And the sister's there. And she's like leaning over their dad's body. And there's a moment where everyone's like, Rasselas is like, is this true? Did Nell kill him? And Sophia says yes. Mm. So Sophia makes this choice to like lean into this lie that Nell killed their dad and Thomas is innocent. Mm. And that really affects how she acts the rest of the series. Like, she just sort of leans into this lie and she knows she's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she's doing a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she's trying to protect her brother.
Yeah.
Which is like, on the one hand I'm like, okay, I see where you're coming from. On the other hand, your brother's a jerk. Like, he isn't he is not a good guy to protect, so why are you doing this? But it does set up this dichotomy between her and Nell, because they're sort of doing the exact same things.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to protect their siblings, and their fathers have just been murdered.
Yeah.
But they do it in completely opposite ways.
Yeah.
And part of that is class. Like, Nell is lower class, and she has to go on the run because they're gonna hang her if they find her.
Yeah.
For murder, because she can't get anyone to listen to her, because obviously, like, the upper class people are like, no, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the first episode, and then it sets all the stuff off. But I do want to bring up that there is magic in this, mm-hmm. as you know, from the little fairy man
yeah.
who gives her powers.
Yes.
But it sounds so silly, but it's so fun, guys. So Poynton actually dabbles in dark magic.
Oh.
And that comes into play a lot because he is a Jacobite and he's trying to take down Queen Anne, played by Jodie May, who has been in Gentleman Jack and The Witcher and some other things. She's mm-hmm. recognizable, probably. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole like political side of it. But at the beginning, he was obviously like gunning for Thomas, like, let me take Thomas under my wing. Mm-hmm. And then Sophia decides to lean into this lie of like, Nell killed my brother, so we have to go catch Nell. Mm-hmm. And she discovers that Poynton does magic and like she becomes his new protege, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She leans into all this dark magic. And it's really interesting because like I just love that she and Nell are such foils because they both have magic and they're both kind of using it to escape the traditional gender roles. Like mm-hmm. Sophia's very adamant that Nell did this because if Thomas loses the estate, it'll go to their cousin and she'll be like under his thumb, basically.
Yeah.
And she knows that she can kind of like do whatever she wants when Thomas is the lord. And like she mm-hmm. basically is the lady. She acts as she like takes care of the estate and stuff, and Thomas is like melting down. So it allows her to have power.
Yeah.
If Nell is the one who has done this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nell uses her powers for good. She and Billy have some talks and Billy is like, you know, I want to protect you, but I'm not going to give you powers when you're just running amok. Like you have to be in danger and I want you to use these powers for good. And she really takes to that. She's like, yeah, I have a purpose and I'm going to help people. Because along the way, as she's trying to get her name cleared, she runs into a lot of stuff and she has to help Charles/Isambard and Rasselas comes on the run with them and she just ends up helping a lot of people. So I just really love that. I love the writing. I love the character work here because you don't get to see a really well-written female villain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I love that you guys are such parallels, but you went in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fun to see. And I just want to mention, too, that Roxy has some magic thing about her. Like, she can see Billy blind when no one else can. Mm. And she senses some things. So I think that might come into play later. It has not been renewed for season 2 yet.
Mm.
Well, it just came out.
Okay.
Like, a week or two ago.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And they have started writing season 2. So I think they're... Okay. They're pretty confident that they will get a season 2. And I'm hoping Roxy's magic will go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I just really took to it. It talks about some important social issues and like gender issues and race issues with Rasselas and slavery mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But I don't think it does it in a heavy-handed way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fun. The music is great. There are some good action scenes. It gets funny at times. Like, it's just sort of the whole package for me. It's so much cool. Fun.
That actually sounds really fun. I think I might like that. I worry because I'm working on a book that has a highwayman type character with fairies in it. So I'm like, maybe I shouldn't watch it until I'm done with that so that I don't subconsciously, you know, get influenced. But I also think that's because of that, it sounds like it's something I would enjoy. So
yeah,
it sounds really cute.
I think you would like it. I think,
yeah,
I think you should give it a shot. I don't think you'll accidentally steal from it.
Okay.
We all have that worry.
We do. I also want to say I did look up Pip Torrens, and he was in one of the Star Wars movies, The Force Awakens.
Oh.
He was in Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. He was on Black Mirror and Doctor Who. And I mostly know him from Succession and The Nevers. He was a main character on The Nevers. So
okay, gotcha.
He's been in everything. He's a British character actor.
Yeah, he's a BCA, not a VCA.
Well, he's both. He's a VBCA.
I also want to point out Jolie Richardson has a fun role.
Oh, uh-huh.
She's sort of a guest star, mm-hmm. but she plays Lady Ilaria Moggerhanger, who I know. It's very silly. I love it. She runs a newspaper.
Oh.
And she's also Charles's betrothed.
Oh.
And that leads to some interesting scenes later on.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention that. But yeah, there's a lot of good British actors. Louisa Harland is great as Nell. The only thing I've seen her in is Dairy Girls, and she... Orla was so weird, and I loved her for that, but Nell is such a different character. She has a lot of presence, and she's able to switch between, like, the fight scenes and being Nell, but also, like, acting as other characters when she and Charles go, not undercover, but they try to fool some people and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think she really holds it all together.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. I very much recommend it for everyone. I'm in the middle of rewatching the season.
Oh, cute. Okay. That's great.
Cool. All right. Well, if you want to watch Renegade Nell, you could find it on Disney Plus. And if you want to watch Elizabeth, you could find it on CBS and later on Paramount Plus.
Yep. And next time we'll be talking about more great pop culture stuff, so be sure to join us soon.
Our theme music is by Joseph McDade.
You can find our website at positivelypopculture.com, and from there you can find the link to the merch store, as well as our email, positivelypopculture@gmail.com.
And please rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening, stay healthy and safe, and join us next time for another episode of Pause Pop.